Now we're going to read in the Word of God, our opening Psalm, number 66.
From the RSV, beginning at verse 1. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how terrible are your deeds? So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you. Sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is terrible in his deeds among men. He turned the sea into dry land. Men passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O people. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip.
Also in the New Testament, in John's Gospel, John chapter 14, and reading from verse 15. Jesus is the way to the Father, and he promises wonderful promises. I will do, no, beg your pardon, 15. If you love me, you will obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter who will stay with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him, for they can't see him or know him. But you know him, because he remains with you and is in you. When I go, you will not be left as orphans alone. I will come back to you. In a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me, and because I live, you also will live. When that day comes, you will know that I am in my Father, and that you are in me, just as I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. My Father will love those who love me. I too will love them and reveal myself. Amen. Thanks be to God for his word. And we'll think about his wonderful promises in a moment. By way of introduction, there are two people I want to tell you something about. Although you'll be very familiar with their words. Does anyone know the name Mel Blanc? He is the voice behind the character of Looney Tunes. You know, in the television, every time you hear the voice of Porky Pig's face, it comes on at the end of the screen of the cartoons, and you'll hear his voice, and it's Mel Blanc who was the one who did the actual saying. That's all, folks. You remember? Several years ago, Mel Blanc died. And I wonder if you can guess what they put on his tombstone. Yes? That's all, folks. The second person, I don't know what he was saying there, but the second person is a well-kent Irish face, always simple and positive, beaming, looking on the laughter side of life. Poking fun at his town, his life, the places they've been. One who invites you, come closer. There's more. You know who that is? Jimmy? No, Jimmy Cricket. You're going to be with a certain generation to know him. You're too young, you, most of you. But thinking of these two folks, one who says, that's all, folks. And one who says, there's more. I wonder if you can guess who is more like the Lord that we are now going to come to his words. Comparing the two, I'm sure you'll agree that the fundamental truth that our Lord is trying to get across to his anxious friends as he tells them he is going to go through death and he is going to rise again, he says to them, don't be alarmed. Don't worry. That's not all, folks. That's not the end. There's more. There's far more. That thought made me smile as I was reading John's Gospel this week, you see. That's why it came into my mind. Jesus reminding his disciples they were about to face the biggest change in their life ever since Jesus had called them. And he says, don't let your hearts get upset. There are going to be big changes. Yes, I'm going away. But I'm coming back in a special way. This is not the end. There's more. There's no need for confusion. I am the way. There's no need for doubting. I am the truth. There's no need for despair. I am the life. But I suppose we are more like Thomas and the other disciple that men would like to believe. We want to know exactly what's going to happen. Tell us it straight. Let's get the blueprint, the A to Z. Let's get the sat nav out and ask God, look, guide us, Lord. In 300 yards, you'll come to a crossroads. Take the right lane and turn right. Then go through the roundabout and take the second exit. We want to know each turn clearly marked just when we need it. But life isn't quite like that. And the Lord, in calling his disciples, it is more like into an adventure course where the master, coach, and trainer would ask us to put into practice the values and the lessons learned. We are in the training course of life. And he has said, look, I've gone through the course. And these are all the things I want to remind you. And I'm going to send you one who will actually bring these lessons back to you and to put them into practice. He has given us the training manual, as it were, and the resources placed into our hands. And in today's world, Christians can have real hope, real assurance that Jesus has offered us wonderful promises based on his great work over the grave, over evil, and over everything that is not of God's purpose. But he asks of us real trust that we are to take on steps of faith. Not knowing in detail where they will lead. Not knowing how things will pan out. And I want to take three core promises that are in this chapter in John's Gospel. The first core promise is that God's plan in Jesus is being worked out through the cross. God's plan. The world is not left to his own. I will not leave you as orphans, he says. I'm not leaving you to your own devices. It's all been in hand. I have to go to the cross. The cross was part of the great work. There was a reason that after the cross and the resurrection, Jesus had to leave in person and enter the eternal world. He had to leave the temporal scene, the scene of time, and enter the world of heavenly glory. His words in that upper room, spoken to his disciples, reassure them and reassure every follower since that God, Jesus, was being recalled to his triumphant place in heaven, and that the next step would be applying the fruits of his victory from the cross into the world of those who would follow. A new plan was being set in motion, and the next step would come. Jesus in person, Jesus on the cross, Jesus leaving, and the next stage. The work he had come to do was truly finished when he gave his spotless life for us. when his love was shown right to the very point of death, only God could pronounce the offering worthy and acceptable. And he did this when he raised Jesus from death. And so our faith, it rests on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I'm leaving, he says, but you've got to trust in God and trust in me, for this is all part of the Father's plan. Only after Pentecost would they really be convinced of the truth of the news, of the power of the good news. But you have a real insight into the Father through me, he says. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Through my words and through my dying love, you have been looking into, as it were, he says, look, all these past 3 years, you've been looking at the face of God when you've been looking at me and my work. I am in the Father, the Father is me. I have taught you the truth, and now you need someone to remind you all that I've been teaching. And he'll come. Because I'm alive, you too will live. Death is not the end. There's more. And you'll apprehend that in due time. And today we have to see, of course, we're in a wonderful position that we can look back and see how it all came out. The disciples, of course, didn't know. They had to trust not knowing. We know that the cross and the empty led on to the empty tomb. We know that the empty tomb led on to Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we know that he is in his world. And so, today we see the place of Jesus, death, and it is still pivotal in your faith and mine. We need his death as the foundation stone of all that we believe in and all that we hope for. That's why we can be sure God's purpose will continue today and into the future, because it is founded upon his mighty victory. So the cross is the foundation of God's plan. Second, Jesus is saying in this passage that God's presence in the Holy Spirit is a permanent experience. Not only was the cross part of the plan, but God's living presence would continue. He goes on to give way of reassurance that Jesus' living reality would come back in another form. I'm going away, but he'll come back. I will come back in another way for you. I will, another comforter is the words. Two words he uses. And the other thing he uses is the Spirit of Truth. I will request the Father to give you another comforter. Yes, the Spirit of Truth, who will be with you. It is Jesus in his real essence, but in another form, in another way, in another name. Comfort, it doesn't really mean tea and sympathy. You know, it's all right. Everything will be all right. You know how some people say. And they have no idea. They're just saying that to you. In the dilemmas of life, we have more. Much more robust word is this word, comforter, in the Greek. It means literally one who is called down onto our level to be with us and to help us, to take up our cause, the advocate, the one who is, as it were, has been through the heavenly courts and the earthly journey and can plead our cause. And the actual word comforter in Latin is conforte, which is literally providing strength. Forte is more strength, together with him. He is our counselor and helper to recall Jesus' teaching to our minds and to apply it to our hearts and lives. He knows all about Jesus, this comforter. He knows all about his work. He knows all about the heavenly world. And he is with us here and now. The comforter is God really among us. God with us. God among us. God in us. And there's more. More than mere insights of truth. More than mere helpers like older friends who can help us in the journey. When people say, where is God today? Where is he? And you say, you can't see him. Of course you can. But he is invisibly, permanently, and potently present when we open our hearts to his presence, the gift for every believer. The advocate, the helper, is really here to stay, to lead us step by step to glory. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. And the one who died for you made that promise to you. I will never leave you. And the one who told us to go out into all the world is the one who said, lo, I am with you always. Look, he said, I'm with you always. But you've got to go in order to get the lo. You've got to go out in order to get the presence. You've got to take the step of faith in order to appreciate the reality of the authentic voice of God the Spirit dwelling with us. Now again, in this younger audience, some of you will not remember the old HMV. HMV had indeed an old little gramophone, and they had a big horn, and in front of it there was this dog. And the dog is amazed. He is literally fixed on this horn. Why? Because he hears his master's voice. And his tail wags and he knows it's there, but he can't see him. Now the master's not there, but he is there. He's not there visibly. But he is there because he recognizes the voice. And the voice has come through the horn. The master is here. And so too God reassures us. Sometimes in our own private moments. Sometimes as we gather together, I'm sure you've felt this in your worship together, that God is with us. We get a real sense of him lifting, supporting, guiding, helping. So too God reassures us when we're attempting to do something in the church, in ministry, and in attempting anything that will change. Change is difficult. I'm sure at the beginning when you thought of taking away the pews, not everyone would say hallelujah. You might have had one or two saying, now wait a minute. Change is not easy. But sometimes when you look back, you realize how far you have come along the road. And our hearts really want to tune in to God speaking. That's what it's all about. It's not just doing rituals. No matter whether you do new hymns or old hymns or stand or sit or whatever, that's not the important thing, the ritual. It's to know and to feel and to sense and to recognize God speaking, God alive to us. We have his word so clearly written, but the word must be heard and recognized, and we have his word. And so the second thing that he had said, not only is God's plan being worked out through the cross, but his presence is a permanent experience. And he goes on to say how we find it. God's love revealed in us when we step out in faith. He says, look, who are the ones who love me? They are the ones who put the teaching into practice. They're the ones who actually step out with me. And the words become part of them. You, as it were, take them in. Chew over them. They make them your diet of life. It's all apprehended as we take steps of faith and obedience. Now, in part, I believe that you have been granted real visions for your work. Your building development program and your congregational development program has opened out new avenues. And you've seen signs of God blessing you at work. God touching lives. God enriching you in the ministry of caring, in the ministry of sharing, and in the ministry of letting everything be a kind of God speaking through us to anybody and everybody. And God is at work. He is not just in the gathering. He is at work out there and through you and wherever you may be. God is already at work. We have got to tap in and to know. And love of him, love of the master, will make things very sweet to you when you obey him. It makes you want to bring more into the worship and to the fellowship. It wants to let more taste of the heavenly joy that you have been feeling and sensing. It wants you to bring in more into a personal relationship. And you can only say, well, this is how I've found it. You know, this is that God has helped me in this way and that way, and you share naturally. And we know that one who has promised us, he will be with us right to the very end of the journey. And the end of the journey opens out to a greater thing in heaven, that there's more that we can ever understand. Far more. Come closer, Jesus says. There's more. Much more. And he deals with us no matter what our faults and failings are. That there will always be a time when we come back and we can renew our faith. He will give us peace and he will give us joy. Thank God that we can prove that in loving and following Jesus and putting his words into practice, there's always more. Amen. Thanks be to God for his word to us all today.